The world that we live in has many sights and sounds for us to interact with almost every moment of our waking day. From what we see with our eyes, we're able to make some kind of an assessment. So when we see beauty and goodness, we give thanks to God for those marvelous works. But when we see wrongdoing and wickedness, we would want to see how to stop it and pray for God's help. And from what we hear with our ears, we are also to make an assessment. When we hear what is good and inspiring, we give thanks to God for God's blessings. When we hear what is sad or bad or irritating or disturbing, we too will have to do something. Diane Bergant, an Ignatian sister, a noted scripture scholar and a beloved professor of mine, asks us this. We are far enough into the new year to ask, where have all the resolutions gone? Every year we begin with good intentions and a certain amount of fervor, but it doesn't take long before we must admit that something has gone wrong. Either we tried to do more than we could in a short time, or we became discouraged when long-standing bad habits did not melt away like snow during the early thaw, or we simply lose interest and sink back into the routine of life. It's unfortunate if we feel this way, because the readings of this time, of this ordinary time, continually remind us of the responsibilities that are ours as disciples of Jesus. And these responsibilities require that we resolve to improve our lives. However, the readings of the Sundays of ordinary time do not require that we change all at once. They offer insights into this transformation one at a time. That seems good and reasonable. Why would we be willing to accept the demands of discipleship and change our way of living in the first place? What would prevent people from saying that Jesus was just crazy? Well, watch what happens next. Into that synagogue scene, there rushes a man with that unclean spirit, and he knows who Jesus is. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Because we know that we have habits that we should possibly break, and that we cherish attitudes that we should change. Do you cherish any of your attitudes? In some ways, we might even have made a convenient truce with the forces of evil swirling around the world today. Forces such as complacency in the face of poverty or injustice, religious or racial bias, or an unwillingness to forgive. And there's my favorite, the grudge. And my really favorite, to not cling to a position or being right. We know that we should change. That is why we sometimes make New Year's resolutions. However, discipleship calls for much more than a promise to eat less or exercise regularly. It calls for a real, even gradual transformation of mind and heart, a regular, daily, moment-by-moment conversion. I've said before that Francis always enjoined his brothers every day to convert, sometimes every hour or minute, depending on what's going on. So today's gospel tells the story of an exorcism, a man possessed by unclean spirits. The people at the time of Jesus believed the world was a battlefield of the deadly conflict between the forces of good and evil. In line with this, all the suffering in the world was caused by demons that took control of people's lives. This explains why the Gospels recount so many situations where Jesus casts out a demon. And such exorcism was a victory of good over evil. a defeat of the power of demons, and the establishment of the reign of God. Often this evil took the form of some physical malady. Such was the case with the man in today's gospel, although the physical ailment wasn't specifically identified. This may appear to be an insignificant victory, but this is how the battle against good and evil is won. This is how the reign of God is established, little by little. We no longer entertain the worldview held by our religious ancestors, but we can't deny in our own time, in our own place of history, that we're often caught in the battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. Sometimes we even use the same language and speak about our own demons. We all have them, don't we? Our own demons. We may be using the language metaphorically, but we can't deny that at times we find ourselves to be under the control of habits that are detrimental to our well-being. Like the man in the gospel, we might need something as drastic as an exorcism to release us from their grip. Today, we might call that an intervention or therapy or spiritual direction or friendship, sisterhood, brotherhood. And if we do not have the inner strength to keep a simple New Year's resolution, how can we hope to overcome the bigger demons? We don't all have to enroll in some rehab program, but we do need help if we are to change our lives. And the good news, my friends, is that God promised to send this help. The reign of God must be established little by little. There have always been many and varied voices that claim to have the remedy for our ills. Preachers have stirred up crowds and ignited emotions. Promises of healing are made. Yet inner conflict that we suffer goes on, and the demons continue to hold us by the throat. But then a voice is heard in the midst of the chaos of our lives, in the rubble of our broken resolutions. The voice rings with great authority. Be quiet. Get out. Come out. And now they and we have to make a decision. Are we with him or against him? If he is who he says he is and who he demonstrates himself to be, then we have to give our lives to him. So let's listen to that voice in the midst of the chaos of our lives. Be quiet. Come out.